You ever had anybody do something so nice that they paid off something that you owed? Now, some of you may know this story, but when I graduated college, I paid for college myself, and besides some scholarships that I had, I went to a very expensive school, so I had to actually take out some student loans to pay for college, and then I went overseas to study. And while I was overseas, those loans were on hold until I got finished with studying overseas, and then I had to pay for them. So I came back from overseas. Immediately, in 1 week, I had to find a place to live. I had to get an automobile in America, and I had to find a job, and I had to start paying student loans. It was pretty overwhelming for a poor single guy coming from China. I sat down with a friend of my father's, I sat down with him, and he told me that my student loans were paid off. So when he handed me a receipt, he had actually had been taking care of the booklet since I was gone, and when I sat down with him, he said, "Here's the receipt for your student loans. I paid them off for you while you were gone." Probably the nicest thing someone's ever done for me. Pretty large college debt. And he said, "You know, you need to be debt-free." So he wrote a check for my student loans. They were gone. Massive load on my shoulders, wiped away. Forever. Finished. We come today to probably the most beautiful word in Scripture, besides the name Jesus. One of the most beautiful words in Scripture today, Jesus' sixth saying from the cross. In English, it is three words. It is finished, but in the original language, it's just one word. Finished. If you have a Bible, turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19 is where we will be, at least most of the time. I'll admit that I've struggled to fully appreciate and comprehend the impact of this one word from the cross, finished. Jesus did not say, "It's over." That would be something different if he just said, "It's over." But he didn't say that. He said, "It's finished." A word with a lot more meaning. Charles Simeon, a famous pastor in the UK a couple of hundred years ago, said, "Every word indeed that proceeded from our Savior's lips deserves the most attentive consideration. But tetelestai, the word finished, eclipses them all. To do justice to it is beyond the ability of men or angels. Its height and depth and length and breadth are absolutely unsearchable." For Jesus to say that word from the cross, tetelestai, it's finished, it's impossible for me this moment, today, to do it justice. You may have heard that the word means paid in full. There is some evidence to that. Not as much evidence as a lot of preachers would like for it to have. It gives the messages a little more punch to make it a financial term, meaning your debts are paid. But nonetheless, there have been documents found, Roman documents found in Egypt, that where people had tax receipts, where they had paid their taxes and stamped on the tax receipts was the word tetelestai, meaning they're canceled, they're paid out, they're finished. So it does have that meaning. I could go to the local Dai Pai Dong and I could eat dinner with you and you could say, did you pay the bill? And I could say, yeah, I paid it. Or I could say, it's done. Or I could say, it's finished. And that would all have the same meaning. Why did Jesus say this word from the cross? That's the main question we want to look at. Why did he say this word? What is its significance? What's finished? What is the it in it is finished? I think today, in order to try to understand that, there are four things, at least in my mind, that we need to try to see. Number one, we just want to know what's finished. What is he talking about? When he said it's finished, did he just mean my life? Did he mean something figurative, something literal? Also, what if it's not finished? What if he had never said that word? What would the implications be? And that'll help us appreciate the word. Number three, I think we have to see the value of the person who said it. And then number four, the benefits that are gained from Jesus saying this word, it's finished, or tetelestai. So let's dive right in. I'll try my best to help us understand some of these things. So what's finished? What is it that Jesus is talking about? Could mean it's accomplished or it's completed. What's completed? Well, the work that Jesus was sent to do by God the Father. God the Father sent God the Son to the earth to accomplish a mission, to accomplish a task. That's the task. Well, what was the task? Jesus, John 1:29, Jesus said, John said of Jesus, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So what was Jesus' task? To take away the sin of the world. What about John 3:17? God sent his Son into the world in order that the world might be saved through him. Matthew 20:28 says that Jesus himself said that he came into the world to give his life as a ransom for many. And that word ransom is a huge word. It can mean payment. Jesus came to give his life as payment, as a lamb, to die, to take away sin, to be in the place of sinners. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree or the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. So from all eternity, as far back as any of our minds can even comprehend, before time itself, there was a plan. Before the foundations of the world, the Bible says, and that plan has now been completed, at least the redemptive plan. It's paid. The way of salvation is open. So that's the it of it is finished. What is finished? The it is finished is the plan of God to save human beings from their sin is finished. It's completed. Jesus has completed it. The wrath of God has been placed on Jesus and it's done. He's getting ready to die. And it's going to be over. What about number two? The second thing we need to see is, what if it's not finished? What if Jesus, so I was thinking to myself this week, what if Jesus had never completed the task? What would that mean for us? A horrible reality that we would still be guilty before God. Everyone who's ever lived would be guilty before God. There would still be sin, and we would be wasting our time to be here this morning. We might as well leave. There's much more things that we could be doing besides being here this morning and investing our hope and energy into someone who did not die. So this morning I want to do something a little unusual. Hopefully you will not find this sacrilegious, but I was thinking this week, what if some of my most beloved verses were turned on their head as if they were not true? What would they sound like? So if you're visiting with us, this is not the Word of God. I'm giving you the opposite of what the Word of God says, okay? Let's look at a couple of verses. John 3:16. God so hated the world that He refused to give His only begotten Son for them so that they would perish in an eternity in hell. What about John 10:10? The thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, and I did not come to deliver them from it. What about Romans chapter 3:23? You know that verse in your head? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are not justified, but they are left there. What about Romans 5:8? God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were still sinners, He did absolutely nothing to help us. What about Romans 6:23? The wages of sin is death, and there is no one to pay it for you. Romans 8:28, that beloved verse. There is now therefore no condemnation, right? There remains condemnation for all people because they are unable to keep the law. Romans 10:9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you're wasting your time because you're still going to perish. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, not for by grace you have been saved through faith, but for by justice you have been rejected through unbelief, and this is your own fault. It's what you deserve due to your own actions. For me to live is me, and to die will be worse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's not a new creation, but it means nothing. You're still in your sins. He did not make Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, because we're still in our unrighteousness. What about Matthew 7? Ask, and you'll be denied. Seek, and you will find nothing. And get the door shut in your face if you knock. But that's not what the Scripture says, is it? All because Jesus completed the task that the Father gave Him to do. And He completed that task. So therefore, all of those verses that we hold on to with dear life and hope in, and wake up in the morning going, well, this is my only hope today, is that Christ completed the work and I can get up today and persevere and press on because of that. We have that hope because He completed the task. Thank God that He did. Number three, so we need to understand what it is that His work was, which was to die for sinners. Well, what if it hadn't happened? That would be very horrible, for sure. The third thing we need to see is the value of the person who did this work. What is the value of the person who completed the work? I don't think we spend enough time thinking truly, deeply, meditating or marinating on who Jesus is. Who is He? Colossians chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, which, by the way, doesn't mean the first one created. It means the one who rules. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. That's the person who died on the cross. Hebrews chapter 1, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus himself said, all authority. I think about this verse all the time and its implications. And I still can't seem to grasp what all it means. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's the person who came to the cross and completed the task and was slain in your place and said, it's finished. Lastly, we need to understand the benefits of what it means that Jesus actually did this work. What did it accomplish? What did it accomplish that Jesus completed the task on the cross? Forgiveness, removal of guilt, love, abundant life, eternal life, meaning, joy, peace. All of those things that we as human beings want and desire was made completely possible by Jesus on the cross. But there's one verse when I ask myself, what does it truly mean for Jesus to say it's finished? There's a verse that came to my mind that I think summarizes what it truly means for Jesus. By the way, quite possibly when you see the Gospels and it says Jesus cried out with a loud voice. Some of the Gospels don't tell us what the word is. And Luke seems to say that it was when he cried out, screamed, that he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Many people believe that actually Jesus, when he cried out, said, finished! He screamed it. Finished. Can you picture that? Our Savior hanging on the cross and screaming a victorious yell. Finished. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Probably this passage, I believe, helps us understand what it truly means for our Savior to yell that word from the cross, or at least say the word. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to give you a little context. The verse is on the screen. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. By the way, you know there are people all over the world every year that are killing animals. Chickens, goats, rams, sheep. They're killing animals to try to take away sin. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will. I have come to finish it, accomplish it. O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. And when he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. Then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. And he did it. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. So by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, kill a sheep, kill a ram. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. Now here's the key verse, verse 14. This verse changed my life when I was in college. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. For by a single offering, his body on the tree, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. That is what it means for Jesus to say it's finished. The payment has been paid by Jesus' offering of himself, so that you and I, who believe in Jesus, are declared right before God, or are the big word that we use is justified. We have been justified before God. You do understand that no one can work their way to God. Christ did it. Christ paid it. And so, if you believe in Jesus, it's finished for all time. There's nothing you can add to it. You cannot add to it without taking away from it. You cannot add to the work of Christ, it's finished, without taking away from it. So if it's my birthday, which it was not too long ago, and Amber says to me, honey, I would like to make you your favorite meal tonight, chicken casserole, fried okra, maybe some corn, some bread, something like that. She wants to make my favorite meal. And I say, oh, honey, that would be wonderful. Thank you for doing that for me. And then she fixes it and she sets it on the table. And it's finished. And yet I say to her, well, actually, you didn't really make it the way that I like it. So Judith just made a face. Because what does that mean? You can't add to it without taking something away from it. It would be an insult. It's finished. She has done it. She has made that. And now there's nothing I can do to add to that. And there's nothing, brothers and sisters, that you can do to add to the finished work of Christ. You have to accept it. But maybe some of you are still trying to get God to love you. Maybe some of you are still trying to get God to be pleased with you. And yet, it's finished. He did the work. If you have a Bible, one more verse and I'll close. I believe it's Matthew chapter 5. This is not in your notes, Elliot. Not Matthew chapter 5. Let me see. I mean John chapter 5. John chapter 6, sorry. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 28. It's not on the screen. John chapter 6, verse 28. They say to Jesus, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" What must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." What can you do? What can you do to add to Jesus' finished work? What can you do to get God to love you? Just accept it and believe. You can't add to Christ's work. But, for by a single offering He has perfected. So that's finished. That's the finished work of Christ. It's done. Notice it's in the past tense. He has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Some of your translations, which... An old translation, I believe, said, "He has made perfect forever those who are being made perfect." He has perfected forever, justified, those who are being made perfect, sanctified. That is what it means for Jesus to finish the work on the cross. It's done. He's not going to die anymore. He doesn't die each week. And He's never going to come to the cross and die again. Just simply accept it. And out of gratitude and amazement for the work that He finished, it will lead you to holiness the more you contemplate that. Are you still trying to work your way to God? Are you still trying to get God to be pleased with you? Just believe. And just soak in the wonderful grace and mercy of Jesus Christ who did it in your place. That's liberating. It's liberating to know that He finished the work. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I confess that it's so easy to, or it's so difficult to be on the receiving end of grace. Father, it is difficult for us to let someone pay our student loans for us. Father, it's difficult to let someone buy us a car and not try to contribute anything to it, but to just say thank you. My flesh and my pride wants to work and wants to earn. Thank you that Jesus paid it for us. And He finished it. with no supplementing or addition from our filthy works. I pray that you would liberate someone in this room from the Christian life of working, trying to make God happy. And I pray that you would help us all to receive with just grateful hearts your goodness and mercy to us. And in that gratefulness, that we would then live lives that honor you. Not to please you, but because we're thankful. Thank you, Jesus, Son of God, for completing the task that we might have abundant life. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to ask a simple question. Have you ever received Christ as your Lord? Have you ever bowed the knee? I pray that today you would do that. And I would love to talk to you about that. Let's stand together as we sing Song of Response, The Power of the Cross.